you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. On the podcast today, our Cubs pre- and post-game host on NBC Sports Chicago, the Cap Man, David Kaplan, and Hub Arkish, the executive editor of Pro Football Weekly, who also is a lifelong Cubs fan.
And a season ticket holder.
Hub, how did you get hooked on the Cubs, and do you remember your first Cubs game?
I do. I've got to see if I can shorten the story. You guys ever think about your oldest memory, the furthest back you can go, like the first thing you remember? I had just turned 4 years old, and it was kind of a dark, rainy day. And my parents were, I'll say, debating, not arguing. And what I picked up on was my mom said, he's too young. He's not going out to Wrigley Field. And my dad said, Arkish men go to their first Cubs game at the age of four. He's going to the Cubs game. I've gotten these tickets for a while. Something to that effect. So anyway, it wasn't the opener, but it was an early April game. And they played the Phillies, that much I remember. And we went out on kind of a, you know, chilly, drizzly day. And I remember coming up the concourse and seeing Wrigley Field for the first time. I was hooked. I mean, I was only 4 years old, but I remember specifically looking around saying, wow, you know, I've never seen anything like this. And it kind of took off from there.
Do you remember your first Cub game, Cap?
Absolutely. With crystal clear clarity. I was like 4 or 5 years old. I was a little kid. My parents took my brother and I had always liked the Cubs, but had never been to Wrigley. My brother had always liked the White Sox. I remember walking up to the left of home plate, like about the entrance from where the reserve grandstand is, looking down at the on-deck circle, and it was green, and they were playing the Pirates. And I went, this is the most beautiful place I've ever seen. And my brother going, this place is awful. And so right away the rivalry was born, and that was my team. And Roberto Clemente was playing that day. I'll never forget it.
Mine was against the Expos. I had to be older than that. I must have been 7, maybe 8, and it was Ellis Valentine in the Expos.
And Montreal Ward, Expos. Cromartie and Andre Dawson.
They were in town, and it was less memorable and exciting for me because I had my first Little League cap on. There's just a letter on it. I'd gotten it that day from my coach. Wore it to the ballpark. And a seagull pooped on my hat, and I was stung by a bee for the first time in my life, but we sat in the left field upper deck.
Stayed a couple.
Yeah, but I still remember that game for sure.
We really had no choice. I mean, in my family, we were raised in Rogers Park, Northsiders, and I was taught from as long as I can remember that a doubleheader was when the Cubs won and the Sox lost. It was a true kind of North Side baseball thing. And I mean, I could have rebelled. I rebelled against everything else at some point after that, but I saw no reason to rebel against this one. So it's not just me, it's my brothers. It's we've got 16 first cousins. It's all of us. I mean, it's a wild kind of Cubs clan.
You do a lot of football, obviously. That's your career is talking football, but Vic Fangio is a Cubs fan. George McCaskey is a Cubs fan. How often do you talk baseball up at Hallis Hall?
I talk to George about it every once in a while. You know, you don't get a lot of time with Vic other than in the group where he's kind of offering his own comments. But I have had, you know, more than a couple Cubs conversations, more, you know, quick wishful thinking stuff now that they're good, sharing depression when they used to be bad. But George is a solid Cubs fan. And, you know, I think with a lot of the Bears people and the players, they're younger, they're coming from other cities. In the last few years, they've jumped into the whole Cubs thing because they're hot right now. I don't remember that being so much
an issue.
Same
thing with the Blackhawks. They all became Hawk fans because they were good.
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to talk about the comparison between the 2015 Chicago Cubs and the 2018 Chicago Bears. Are there enough similarities to say the Bears might be on a similar path, and I can see some of the same things between the teams. And I look back to the 2014 Cubs, they won 73 games. 2015, they won 97. Now the Bears, they were they lost their coach, and now they've sort of turned things around this year. Do you see similarities in the two franchises at all?
I think there are similarities. I don't think that the Cubs were quite the surprise that the Bears have been this year. I mean, we were in, what, year four of Theo and the rebuild, and we knew it was coming. You saw some of this young talent. I liked what the Bears did in free agency. You know, I thought they had an interesting draft. But in football, there's no farm to go down and develop. There's nowhere to learn. So I had no reason. I thought that maybe if Matt Nagy could coach, because we didn't know at the start of the season, I thought maybe they could be a 500 team. Going into that 15 Cubs season, I was ready. You know, I'd had enough waiting. Yeah, I saw the talent. You saw the Lester deal. I mean, you knew what was happening with that team. And again, I'm not going to say I predicted it, but you could kind of feel it coming. This one, it's really been just since week six or week seven where I've kind of started to believe this probably is the best team in the NFC North.
How much do the coach and manager play into that? I mean, 15 was year one for Joe Maddon, and this is year one for Matt Nagy.
Well, but again, Dave, I don't know if you'd agree. Joe Maddon was a known quantity.
Sure.
You went out and got him because
you got one of the best managers.
Yeah. Well, and you almost felt that most of the other pieces were in place, whereas the Bears went out and got Nagy, looking at a complete rebuild. And early on, he got here. If you go back to some, I don't know if he did it with you on the radio, but you go back to some of his interviews in February and March, and he was trying to tamp down expectations. He was on over at our place, and Bernstein said, so, can Bears fans expect to compete for a playoffs? And he said, well, maybe more likely next year. He was already, and I don't think he was copping out or cushioning it. I think he was seeing the same thing we were. They didn't know what they had, By the time we got to Bourbonnais, I sensed that they were beginning to get a little feel that maybe they had more talent than anybody realized, but I still don't think that looking back to August, that they thought they were going to be where they are right now. I'm not going to say they're surprised, but I think they are certainly as pleasantly satisfied as the rest of us.
Well, Theo was more proven than Ryan Pace,
yeah,
too.
No question, but I remember having the conversation in early June, sitting with Ryan Pace, and I said, okay, can this team win 9 games? Because that's what I had already picked them. And he said, I love your optimism. He said, if you tell me we won 9 games, but Mitchell had a bad year, Chase played okay, and we squeezed out 9 wins, I won't be happy. But if you tell me we go 7-9, and at the end of the year I went, that's my quarterback for a decade, I'll take it right now.
You got to remember something, guys. I mean, because it's relevant to any part of this conversation. The Khalil Mack trade was July, whatever it was, okay?
August.
Okay, early August.
Yeah.
Shifted the whole paradigm. I mean, everything was different once they made the Mack deal, And while some people, the naysayers, might have said, oh, you can't give up two number ones, nobody disputed the fact. This kid was the defensive MVP in the league, the season before last. And so everything that led up to that was kind of the whole rebuild. Are we more talented? What do we think of some of these free agents? Then you go make the Khalil Mack deal, and that the defense was already top 10 last year. So I think everything kind of flipped at that point.
Two trades and different impacts. Jake Arrieta, the Cubs gave up nothing. They rebuilt a guy that had high expectations and turned him into a Khalil Mack type of pitcher, a Cy Young by 2015. So then you look at Mack, he's proven, but could that have the same type of impact when you get
no
a player that strong? I mean, Arrieta and Lester were the two names that really helped turn the team around.
And both guys were not, 35-year-olds trying
agent.
To hang
Allen
on
Robinson
for one more.
Would be the free agent.
You're talking about
for
a 27-year-old Khalil Mack. You're talking about John Lester was, I think, 29, turning 30. So you had two guys in their prime.
Well, they've got Allen Robinson and Khalil Mack, a free agent and a trade.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the Arrieta deal was a lesser deal when they made it. They knew what they thought they were getting, but I would guess even Theo and Jed would tell you we didn't necessarily have great confidence. We saw the stuff, but I mean, this is a guy who had been the opening day starter for the Orioles the year before they traded for him and was out of the rotation at that point.
Yeah, went to the minors.
Yeah, I don't think they had a sense what they were getting, whereas the Cubs, the Bears, they basically mortgaged the future to go get Khalil Mack because they knew exactly what they were getting.
Yeah, Theo will tell you that the day he made the trade, he told Jed, that guy might be a good four starter for us, number four.
Yeah.
But he said more likely he may be an eighth inning setup or a closer candidate because of his stuff. He said, did I think we were getting Cy Young number one? No chance.
I'm always amazed, and not that it's relevant to what we're talking about, right? But I got to throw it in here. We never even talk about the other guy in the trade.
Oh, yeah, Pedro Strop. I mean,
look at that deal.
That's what makes it the best trade in Cubs history, because it's Arrieta and it's Strop, and they both contributed to winning the World
Series. Huge.
There's been some great trades in Cubs history.
Ryan Sandberg's
a good trade. Rizzo's
a
big trade.
The Rizzo deal's a pretty good deal, yeah. So there's been some.
Yeah,
Fergie Jenkins was a good trade.
Fergie Jenkins.
Adolfo was in that trade too, wasn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Adolfo Phillips.
We're obviously Cubs.
Oh, way back. Yeah, we're older than you.
We're going to take a quick break here on the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. We'll be right back.
Cubs authentic fans, the My Teams app by NBC Sports is your home for Cubs highlights, articles, and more. For the best Cubs coverage anytime, anywhere, download the My Teams app today.
What about a rookie player that turns out to be a star? You had Chris Bryant and Kyle Schwarber in 2015. This year, Roquan Smith and Anthony Miller. Can those two guys be that type of impact player that the Cubs got out of Chris Bryant when he was an MVP? Can Roquan Smith take his game to that type of level? Is there any comparison there that two young guys, draft picks worked out for both teams?
It's so much harder for one player to have that huge an impact on a football team than it is a baseball team. I mean, I remember specifically planning on Chris Bryant being the Rookie of the Year. You know, I just didn't know that there could be an MVP the next year. But the Rookie of the Year, it almost would have been disappointing if he wasn't. You know, you look at Roquan Smith, he missed, most of the summer, early training camp, didn't get to the starting lineup until week three. He is playing at a very high level right now. But even right now, he's playing the run at a very high level. The reason he was a top 10 pick was because of his athleticism, supposedly his coverage ability coming out of the SEC. His coverage skills are not real great right now. He's still struggling a little bit with, the speed of the game, making the leap to the NFL, some of the running backs and tight ends he's trying to cover. So, no, I don't know. I think, the bar has been set. If Roquan Smith wins a defensive MVP, I guess we can compare him to Chris Bryant. But I think that'd be tough for me right now.
Eddie Jackson's been so good for the Bears. Who would he be on the Cubs?
Could be Schwarber. I mean, nobody saw Schwarber coming. I know he was a first-round pick.
Yeah, he was the fourth overall. Eddie Jackson was fourth round.
Well, but Eddie Jackson would have been a first-rounder if not for the ACL and the broken leg in school. But still, that's a fair point.
Eddie Jackson could be Wilson Contreras.
There's one.
Well,
I don't know if you really knew what you were getting in Javi Baez. You hoped that this was the guy that you were going to get, the player that you saw in 2018, but everything leading up to it was exciting. I don't know if you ever thought he'd be in the running for MVP this year.
The funny thing is, so when he was drafted ninth overall, Tim Wilkin says to Jason McLeod, who's then the scouting director and VP of the Padres, Jed's the GM, he said, hey, who are you taking? Because obviously we're picking behind you and you can't swap draft picks. He said, we're taking a shortstop. He said, Francisco Lindor is going to be gone before you pick at nine. He said, I don't care if he's there. I'm not taking him.
And to their credit, Jed and Jason have said, we would not have taken Baez if he was on the board.
I think probably the better comp there is Kyle Fuller, who was a first-round pick, who people were ready to get out of town. He's going to the Pro Bowl this year. Last year he should have but didn't because he didn't have the picks. Now he's second in the league with picks. So, you look at Fuller and Baez, and they have fulfilled the potential. Because everybody knew Baez. The two guys you inherited, Baez and Contreras, I think Dave's right. Contreras is the better comp there with Eddie Jackson. Now, we got to find out which player Wilson Contreras is. Is it 2017 Contreras or 2018? I still hope and believe it's 2017. The 2018 version is nice, but not what you expected this year.
Who's the under-the-radar Kyle Hendricks on the Bears? Because there's a guy that they traded for, and you weren't sure what you were getting, and he comes out and he throws, and all of a sudden, slowly but surely, people make the unfair comparison of Greg Maddux, but, boy, he's been as consistent as any
Tariq
pitcher.
Cohen?
No, it's Akeem Hicks.
Akeem Hicks.
That's a great one.
I mean, Akeem Hicks is on his third team.
Was it Houston, New England, Chicago?
No, it was New Orleans. When Ryan was there, they drafted him in the third round. It's not like he wasn't a really good prospect. He just never figured it out in New Orleans. I'm trying to remember. I think Belichick traded for him. New England traded for him. He did finish that Super Bowl season there. They lost that one. Or did he get a ring? No, I think they lost that one. And then they let him go, and Ryan was there to scoop him up. But you want to talk about a pleasant surprise you never saw coming.
Incredible.
Now, you know, the thing about Kyle is that he's like every man who does it without the great skills. Akeem Hicks has unbelievable skills.
Right.
But as far as a really huge, wonderful surprise, to me it's Hicks.
One thing for sure that's common about the two teams, the 18 Bears and the 15 Cubs, it's a youth movement. What do the Bears have? Two players over 30, something like that? Sherrick McManus.
Chase Daniel.
And Chase Daniel. And the Cubs were very, very young in 2015. You have to get lucky on some picks, and young guys have to infuse a team when you're turning around a franchise. And you've seen it on both teams.
Plus, the Cubs brought all those guys up together. You have Baez and Russell and Rizzo and Bryant and Contreras and Schwarber. They all basically kind of fermented at the big league level. And the Bears are, as you said, all these 20-somethings.
Well, the Cubs had sort of bottomed out before they purposely bottomed out at one point. And the Bears last year, 5 wins to look where they are at now. It's a pretty quick turnaround.
Oh, I mean, you know, it happens every year in the NFL, this worst to first stuff you're going to have. There was 3 last year. You're going to have 2 this year with Houston and the Bears. The one place where the Bears and the Cubs, the 15 Cubs and the 18 Bears don't stack up as well. The Bears have got draft picks coming through now, but it's really more the free agent acquisitions, where the Cubs, for the most part, were really built from within other than the pitching staff. And every one of these young stars we're talking about is a kid that they drafted and brought in through the minor league system, with the exception of Rizzo.
And he had to go to the minors first, too.
So when you look at the Cubs now, Hub, what do you think? What do they have to do this offseason?
You know, I think, first of all, they're still loaded. They won 95 games, you know.
We forget that sometimes.
Well, and the thing we forget even more often, because to me it is so significant, Zach Zabeman brought this up, Zach on the Bears now, but 42 games in 43 days to finish the season. Nobody does that. They were toast by the end of the season.
Yeah.
You know, you look at – now, there's no excuse for not being able to score more than one run in successive, you know, single elimination games. But still, the way it came apart, because you win one more at any point in the last couple weeks, all of a sudden you're sitting at home waiting for a wild card team. You know, it's really that simple. And to me, that's just a fluke. You know, that was Mother Nature did that to them. You know, so it's not like they're that far away. Now, you know, if Cole Hamels is 90% for a full season of what he was in the stretch drive, and if Yu Darvish is 80% of what you hoped he was when you paid him all that money, I mean, you're going to have a 6-deep rotation that you don't know what to do with, that's as good as anyone in baseball. We know that Chris Bryant's a better player than what we saw last year. Now, I'm trusting that there is no structural damage in that shoulder.
You're saying no. I talked to his dad the other day. He said Chris is great.
I mean, Chris Bryant's health is the Trubisky of the Bears. They want Trubisky. I mean, you can't compare a quarterback in the NFL to any position in baseball, but I'd say Bryant's health and getting him back to the player that he was is the single most important thing for the Cubs.
Agreed.
I thought Chili Davis had some really interesting comments on the way out, but not to get off the subject, maybe we can come back to that in a couple minutes, is, you know, when you're still looking at a core of Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, and Contreras, and then you look at all the other pieces around it, and I think they're going to make a couple deals. I don't know what to make of Kyle Schwarber at this point. I think, you know, you've got to acknowledge that whether he can play left field or not, you didn't see him as a 240 hitter. I mean, you know, he hit 343 in the World Series or something like that. I don't know, you know, and that was coming back from the missed season. I don't expect him to hit 340, but I mean, you know, Kyle Schwarber has got to be 280, 290.
I'm with you.
You know, 275 would be,
yeah.
I'd be happy with 275, that power.
Now,
Rob Deer right now.
Right, yeah.
Do they believe that can happen? I just don't know. I mean, Ian Happ, for all of his tools, there's a lot of Ian Happs around Major League Baseball. So, you know, I've been saying, and I know, I think David agreed with me, I think some others didn't, baseball guys who probably should have, they were never going to spend a fortune in free agency. They couldn't, especially now that they've, you know, I mean, they could, but it's not good business is the way you look at it. And now that they've picked up the $20 million on Hamels, there's nothing there. You know, I mean, maybe you can get one of these, a Josh Donaldson type deal. Maybe you can get one of these veteran free agents who knows he's not going to get paid. So for $20, $25 million, you get a really good player for a year.
They're getting that for Cole Hamels, so that's kind of worked out for him in a different way they're getting it.
But really beyond that, they have to probably make a deal or two with one of these kids, you know, whether it's Schwarber, whether it's Happ. I would hate it if it was Contreras, but you might get the most for him. See, the guy that nobody talks about is Victor Caratini. You know, why they're bringing up Bobby Wilson or whoever it is at the end of the year, I really like Victor Caratini, and I think he's going to be a hitter if he ever gets to hit every day. Now, he's not. You can't catch him with Contreras being so much better defensively. I don't think he'd be Schwarber in the outfield, so I don't know what you do there. But at the end of the day, that's a really long-winded answer to your question, Luke, because I'm not so sure that at the start of the season they won't be the best team in the National League again. I think it's a possibility.
Agreed.
Well, hopefully it works out this way. We get a Bears get the postseason and make some noise. They become Super Bowl contenders, and the Cubs become World Series contenders.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Fair? Fair
deal?
We'll
tape another one of these then.
We'll do it then.
Can we just real quick, if I don't want to take you over time, but I mentioned it, and I don't want to leave it hanging. The things that Chili Davis said about how coachable these guys were and about wanting to work on things that matter, like maybe some pitchers have figured it out and changing launch angles and swing arcs and things like that. I don't know Chili Davis. I'm not really a Chili Davis fan. But what he said really makes sense. And so even if Chris Bryant didn't want to listen to Chili Davis or whoever it was, hopefully they're going to listen to somebody because it sounds to me like there may be something.
There's nothing bigger in the advancement of a Major League Baseball player than adjusting. I mean, you can be great 1 year, but you have to adjust the next
season. Because the pitchers are going to figure you out. You got to figure them out again.
Right.
If he is healthy, if the shoulder's sound, then the next thing I got to go to is what Davis was saying.
All right, Hub, we appreciate it. Let's do this again.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Thanks, Hub.
That's a wrap for this edition of the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. We'll be here at least twice a week throughout the offseason, so make sure you follow us at the My Teams app from NBC Sports Chicago.